Book of Romans. You know, Romans, it's a great book. And it's a treasure full of gold and diamonds and many precious eternal truths. But they can only be found if you're willing to put the effort in and dig for them. It's like anything. If you're not willing to put the effort in and have a go, you'll never get anywhere. This morning we're in the book of Romans and we're looking at chapter 16. Chapter 16. And we're reading from verse 25 down to 27. Chapter 16, 25 to 27. Now I know what we've been going through. Well, I've been going through Daniel. And next week I'm preaching and we'll be back in Daniel. We're going to have a look at Daniel chapter 7. And we'll see what we can learn from there. But this week, we took a bit of a detour. And we end up in Romans. Romans chapter 16, verses 25 to 27. And this part, it's a wonderful doxology that gives all praise and all glory to God. It says, "Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. To God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen." Let me pray, because I need to pray before we continue. Father, Lord, you have placed us in a place to share your word. You have given us the opportunity to come into your presence. You have given us the opportunity to be your servants. And we pray, Father, that as we come and we look into your word, that we may understand, Lord, it is all about you. There is no other God beside you. Father, we just pray, we come and we praise you, we honour you, and we ask, Lord, that we may understand your word this morning. We know, Father, that we are human, but that's not an excuse, Lord. Father, we are human, but we need to still look for you for guidance. We still need to ask your Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us. We still need to be open to teaching from your Spirit, Lord. We pray, Father, that you would just teach us and lead us, because, Lord, if you don't lead and you don't teach, then we'll know nothing. So we pray, Father, we bring this passage of Scripture before you. We ask, Lord, that you would show us exactly what you would have us know. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today I want to have a look at five short points from this particular passage that hopefully will help us to understand a bit more of Paul's heart and his main focus. And as he draws the curtain on Romans, he shows us the time to praise. You know, we always come to the end and we are now unto him who is able to keep us from falling and present us faultless before the presence of his glory. We come and we come to our Father, and we come to honour him, and we come to acknowledge him. And this is what Paul is doing here in this particular passage. He's acknowledging God. In all things he gives thanks, the word shows. It's a time to praise. My first point. You know, there's no better time in history to praise and thank God for all he has done than now. You say, you know, we're gonna mob, eh? We're gonna do this, we're gonna do that. We've got to wait till later, or we'll do this on Sunday or whatever. Well, we shouldn't be gonna mob. There's no better time to praise and thank God than now, right now. Way too often we think that things must be going good before we can praise God. When times are hard, we lift our voice to cry about our circumstances. We cry about our situations we find ourselves in. But we don't seek to praise him. And yet we should. We should be giving thanks all the time. All the time. My wife is sick, and we should be praising the Lord for even that. You know, if she's sick, we know she's alive. Hey, if she's sick, we know she's alive. Auntie Dot Caton, you heard me praying about Auntie Dot Caton. She was a lovely lady, and she went home into the presence of the Lord last night, and she'd be sitting at his feet right now because she had a relationship with her Saviour. Even that we can praise the Lord for. Even that we can give thanks to him because of what he has done for Auntie Dot. You know, what the Apostle Paul here is saying, he's gone through, and the state he found himself in did not deter him from praising God. Our circumstances, our situation should not stop us from praising God. He gave all the glory to his Saviour, and rightly so. It wasn't easy to have. It all belonged to God. Here in Romans, Paul has just finished teaching many wonderful doctrines. If you understand Romans, it's a lovely book, and it's got many things that we can learn that will teach us about God and about our relationship we need to have with him. Here in Romans, Paul has just finished teaching many wonderful doctrines that has fashioned the church down through the years. There was teachings on justification. There was teachings on justification by faith, the righteousness of God, sanctification, teachings on Israel, teachings on sin, on love, reconciliation, plus so much more. Paul taught in Romans. But now it's time, a time to praise. A time to praise the God of heaven, the God of creation. Now it's time to praise his Saviour and his Lord. If you know this particular passage in chapter 16 of Romans, Paul seems to say, I've just commended to you many of my brothers and sisters in Christ. I've commended to you those, I have shared the names of those who laboured for the Lord, constantly sharing Jesus with all they meet, and I have taught much. But now, folks, it's time to consider him. Now it's time to consider him. Why? Because he alone is worthy. He alone deserves all the praise. He alone deserves all the honour. There is no one like him, for he fashioned the world and all that is in it. He is God, and he sits high above the heavens, and he alone should be honoured and glorified. He must be, and he is the object of our praise and our honour. So he's not only time to praise our Lord. He's the object of our praise. That's the whole point of this doxology. It is to praise the one true living God. It is to acknowledge the one who sits far above the heavens. The one who has placed every single star in its perfect place. He is the one who holds back the seas and directs the winds. And he's the one who stops all the enemies from attacking Australia or whatever. He's the one who determines if a nuclear war will start and if it will finish. God is the one who keeps Israel safe when millions upon millions cry out for their destruction. God is the one who keeps them. If you ever look at the map and you see the size of Israel, you see the world, the atlas, Israel's like this here, if you look at it, and there's all these different nations around them, and there's millions upon millions of Muslims that live around them who call for their destruction. But God is the one who keeps them. He's the one who keeps them. And because he's the one who keeps them, he deserves to be honoured. He deserves to be glorified. He deserves to be praised. And he deserves to be focused upon. We need to focus on him. We need to focus on his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, in John 3 it says, says it all when John said, he must increase and I must decrease. The psalmist acknowledged it in Psalm 71:6. He says, my praise is continually of you. My praise is continually of you. You would think that continual praise of the Lord would be adequate, but he goes on and he says in Psalm 71:14, but as for me, I will hope continually and will praise you yet more and more. I will praise you yet more and more. And if the psalmist needed to resolve to praise the Lord more and more, how much more should we? In everything we do, we should praise him more and more. You know, we come to church to receive a blessing from the Lord, but really we should come to acknowledge him. Really we should come to praise him. We should come to bless him. Really we should come to give him the praise and the worship, because he has done it all. In Psalm 148, it shows everything and everyone should praise the Lord. You know, all through Scripture, it tells us that we should exalt him. You know, God will not share his glory with anyone. We shouldn't be looking for self-gratification, self-praise. Paul shows that God is the object of our praise, and he also shows us why. In this particular passage, you know, all through Scripture, it tells us to exalt him. Maybe you might be thinking, but I don't have a bubbly personality. I'm not the type who goes around saying praise the Lord all the time. But praising the Lord doesn't mean repeating over and over again, praise the Lord. Over and over again singing out praises unto him. Rather, praising the Lord is to exalt and rejoice in who God is. Do you really know God? Because if you did, you'd be praising him, you'd be thanking him in every situation. Especially in what he has done to redeem us. Especially what he has done to draw us near to him through the cross of Christ, through the cross of Jesus. That, may I say, is the reason for his praise. He sent his son to die that we might have life and we might have it more abundantly. But what's the reason for our praise? The reason is he has the power to establish according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ in Ephesians 2:3. You know, Paul praises God for the gospel that establishes men. God is able, he has all sufficient power to establish those who trust in him according to the true gospel that Paul and every true preacher and teacher proclaims. It is all Christ. It is all Christ. Paul said, my gospel. He did not mean that he owned the gospel. Well, in a sense he did. But he didn't mean that it was his. But the one he preached was the true one. The true one, as opposed to many false gospels. You know, in Galatians, Paul talked to the Galatians. He says, why have you gone away? Why have you fallen into and gone to another gospel, which really is not a gospel? Because Paul preached the true gospel. The one he preached was true. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is the only true one. And if we don't stick to that gospel, all we do is go astray. You know, Paul says the truth can establish you. It can make you stand firm. It can secure you. It can make you upright. And it can save you. The preaching of Jesus Christ gives eternal life. And it fills a gap that has lasted within man since the time of creation. In creation, Adam and Eve walked away from the Lord. They turned their back upon God. And because of sin, God turned their back upon them. It was Christ who came along and he fixed the situation. Christ gave them the opportunity to come again into a right relationship with the Father. And it was all Jesus Christ. The gospel has Jesus Christ as its purpose. He is the source of it and he is the purpose of it. Well, the only gospel of God that establishes men is the gospel that proclaims Jesus Christ. The major theme of Romans, like the major theme of all scriptures, is Jesus Christ. The preaching of Jesus Christ was Paul's superior, supreme life commitment. In his first letter to the church of Corinth, he said, "We preach Christ crucified. We preach Christ crucified. To Jews a stumbling block and to Gentiles foolishness. But to those who are the called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God." We preach Christ crucified. In his second letter he testified, "We do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord. For God, who said, 'Let light shall shine out of darkness,' is the one who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ." Folks, faith comes from hearing. He explains in Romans, and hearing from the word of God. 1 Peter 5:10, it shows that faith comes by hearing. You know, the truth of the gospel message is a means of spiritual life and stability. In 1 Peter 5:10, "But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you." This truth, that the gospel is the thing that is worth praising God for, this truth has been expanded at length in the book of Romans. And the mystery of that gospel has been revealed. You know, Christ is our hope. He is our hope. He is the only one we can cast our mind to bring us salvation. You know, when we talk about the gospel, it is followed by revelation. As verse 25 continues, "According to the revelation of the mystery which has been kept secret since the world began." Folks, the gospel is revealed truth. Revealed truth. It was a secret, but it is now revealed. A mystery is that which is not understood without future revelation from God. You know, it's like the car commercials in which the new model is covered with a sheet or a canvas. You can see the shape of it, but not the details. The engineer will tell you so much, but not all. He knows what's underneath the canvas. The designer already knows what is in the car, the shape of the car. But the car remains hidden to the rest of us. So too the mystery of which Paul spoke was hidden until the right moment when God himself revealed and unveiled it. The gospel was hidden from all ages. But through the coming and the ministry of our Lord and our Saviour Jesus Christ, it is now revealed to the world. You know, with the coming of Jesus, something unique happened. And that uniqueness, it was eternity invading time. It was God being emerged on heaven, on earth. His coming was the event which all history is working up to. It was an event from which all subsequent history flows. You know, after the coming of Christ, the world could never be the same again. It was a central fact of history. So that men date time in terms of before and after Christ's birth. You want to know what happened before Jesus? You go back to BC. You want to know what happened after him? After Christ. After Christ came. It is as if it was his coming, the world began all over again. You know, there's much sin in the world. Until Christ came, there was nothing that could cleanse you from sin. Now, sure, the blood of bulls and goats would cover our sin, but it could never cleanse us from it. that can never forgive us for it. Only Christ's death on the cross forgave us for it. The door of heaven now stands open for those who will be, by faith receive the Lord as their Saviour. Receive the Lord of Lords and King of Kings by coming obedient to him. Paul writes of the mystery of Christ in you, the hope of glory in Colossians. And this is the mystery of godliness. The mystery of Christ dying for us. It is the mystery of him living for us. It is the mystery of him relating to us. The mystery is Jesus. It is Jesus establishing you in him because he lives in you. The mystery which has been hidden for ages was foretold by the prophets is now revealed. And it is revealed through Christ Jesus. Revealed through Christ Jesus, who is the gospel message. What's the object of the gospel? In verse 26, it says, to make known to all nations for the obedience of faith. To all nations. You know, verse 26 indicates the mystery that was previously predicted in veiled words by scripture and prophets is now to be made known to all the nations so that they might become obedient to the Lord of life. Make known. That's the mystery that it was covered up before, but now it's to be made known to all nations. Not just the privileged few, but to all nations. Is now manifested and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the eternal God, be known to all nations. The sacred writings reveal a time when all men of all nations would know God. And that time is not yet, but it is a dream of God that someday the knowledge of him will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. And God's people have been given the job to do just that. Preach the gospel. Preach the gospel to all nations. And what is the gospel? It is Jesus Christ coming, dying, raising himself from the dead, and going to glory and then coming back for us. This gospel of Jesus Christ calls for obedience that is founded on faith, on a surrender which is the result of love. For the obedience of faith, therefore they should become obedient to the faith. For Paul, the Christian is not a man who has surrendered to a crushing power or law. The Christian is one who has fallen in love with the God of heaven. The Christian is one who has fallen in love with the God of heaven, who is the lover of souls, the souls of men, and whose amazing love stands forever, fully displayed in our Saviour Jesus Christ. You want to know where love is? Love is in the Lord. Love was on the cross. Love was given to us through the death of Jesus. This gospel, which has so long been concealed or revealed partially in the ancient prophets, is now by the commandment of God to be made known among all nations. It's to be made known among all nations. Taking the gospel to all corners of the world require great strength. But with God all things are possible. We are able, we are willing to establish, who is able and willing to establish us. Accordingly, we must look up continually to him and see in the gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ. We must see the revelation of that mystery. That God has intervened in the human arena, and that having called people to faith and obedience to Christ, he will strengthen us for the task ahead. You know, Christ gave his all for us. He gave his all for us. God sent his Son that we might have life and we might have it more abundantly. You know, he looked down upon us and he's seen we're in bad shape, and we're still in bad shape. But we're saved. We're saved. You know, some of the things that are happening in the world today is ridiculous. They're talking about down in Victoria, one of the councils are stopping people from from growing crops in their backyard, and they were going to convict them because they were wanting to share the crops with their friends because the friends had nothing. And they're talking about stopping cockies, now farmers, I'm talking about farmers killing their own livestock and sharing it with the people. It's ridiculous. Ridiculous. The world is in a mess, but God is on the throne. Things are happening all over the world that testify that the Lord's coming is so close. It is so close. We need to see in Scripture that there is a God in heaven. There is a God who loves us, who desires to have a relationship with us, and who has made it possible that we might come into a relationship with him. And he has only done that through Christ. He's only done that through Christ. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began, he has revealed unto us that secret which is Christ, but now is made manifest and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, he made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. To God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. We're going to sing our last song, Be Thou My Vision, 51. 51.